Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here this morning on this Sunday after Easter. was really happy to see so many of you out here on Easter Sunday. I know some of you were with other family worshiping, but we're glad to have you back this morning. Want to make a really quick announcement. We haven't gotten them on the slides yet, but we are planning on May the 5th to have the first baptism that we've had here at Morning Hour Chapel in quite some time. And we are also planning on welcoming some new members on May the 5th as well. So hopefully you can put that on your calendar and be here for that. The location of the baptism will depend on the weather. If it is cold, we will hold it inside in the fellowship hall. If it is not so cold, we may hold it outside. But we will let you know as that time gets closer. I want to start this morning by reading two passages of Scripture. The first passage is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The second passage comes from the first chapter of Acts, starting in verse 3 and going through verse 8. Jesus presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In early 2023, a plan began, and it was prayed over, and the idea was presented at our May church board meeting, and the board overwhelmingly agreed to support this plan. And on Saturday, April 6th, after almost a year of planning and coordinating and communicating, the idea came to fruition. At 3:15 yesterday morning, a group of five teens and five adults gathered in our church parking lot, loaded into vehicles, and drove to Harrisburg International Airport. At the airport, I had the honor of praying over Rooted in Christ youth group members, Sarah Beeman, Aubrey Berwager, Emma Hughes, Isaiah Shank, Sylvia Spielman, and adults John Beeman, Jeff King, Dean Shank, Dusty Spielman, and our youth director, Becky Spielman. The group was about to embark on a one-week missions trip to the Desert Wind, the Navajo BIC mission located in Bloomfield, New Mexico. For those of you who might be aware, this is the mission that Ben and Eunice Stoner directed for many years, and they are still in that area. They're no longer working specifically at the mission, but they do go there from time to time. And this group flew from Harrisburg to Dallas, and then from Dallas to Albuquerque, and then from Albuquerque they drove 2.5 hours to Bloomfield, New Mexico, where they were greeted by Dwayne Bristow, the current director at the Desert Wind. And I heard from Becky Spielman last night, and everyone is exhausted. as a matter of fact, before we go on, Chris is going to show us a very, very brief video that they put on Facebook Live last night. Some of you might have seen it, but let's take a look and see how the youth group was doing at 17 hours after they left the church yesterday morning. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you
for your
support
and prayers.
Explanation point. We have safely made it to New Mexico and we're ready to start serving tomorrow.
Thank you to everyone who's helped us on this journey. Hi, Mom and Dad!
Hi, Mom and Dad!
Hey, everybody.
It was a little bit easier to hear if you were actually on Facebook last night, but they wanted to thank the congregation, thank everybody for their prayers, thank everybody for their support. Those of you who have attended the last couple of spaghetti dinners, most of the proceeds from the auctions have gone towards this missions trip. So Becky was texting with me last night. She said everybody's exhausted, but they're excited to get started this morning. She texted me this morning. Some of them are starting to suffer some of the effects of altitude sickness because they are at about 7,500 feet above sea level, which can really wreak havoc with you if you're not used to it. But they are trying to take it a little easy this morning, but they do have a very busy schedule all week. They actually right now are at breakfast, and then they're going to be doing a Bible study, and then they're going to be going to church with the Navajo BIC. This afternoon, they're going to be going out to the community. They're going to be distributing flyers about all of the things that they have scheduled. The youth group has actually put this schedule together for things for the community to do this week, and they're going to be distributing flyers this afternoon throughout the community. They're going to have their own time of devotionals and Bible study, and they're organizing the materials for the week. All of this has to be done today. And then, after dinner, at about 7:30 tonight, they will be hosting the Navajo BIC basketball night, which will run until about 10 o'clock. So, yeah. They might be a little tired. And I know I talked to a couple of the families as they were coming in. They told me that they had heard from some of the students, some of the youth this morning. But the rest of the week is likewise. It's filled with service to the mission, to the community. They're going to be the youth are going to be volunteering at the Nejoni Christian Academy during school hours, so they will be there all morning. And the adults are going to be doing some carpentry and painting and maintenance and landscape work. The youth are going to be hosting meals. They're going to be hosting Bible studies. They're going to be running a church service on, I think it's Wednesday night, they have a youth church service, then they're going to be running that. I believe Isaiah Shank is going to be speaking for that service. They're going to be running a career inventory and resume building workshop. They're going to be doing a tree planting ceremony. And just before returning to Harrisburg, if they have not decided to just collapse in their beds all day Friday, they will have a day of exploring with a Navajo guide in the general area until they get ready to fly back on Saturday morning. They will arrive back to the church around 11 o'clock at night. And then they are planning to be here on Sunday morning to tell us all about their trip. So, if you want to hear about the great things that God is doing with our youth and through our youth, please be here on Sunday next week at 10 o'clock. And I said that this all began in early 2023, but really it didn't. Really it began before the creation of the world. God has had a plan since the creation of the world, and He waited until this time to see if His chosen people would obey His call. And in 2021, the board felt that God was calling us to bring in a director of youth ministries, someone who could lead our youth and help them to learn about Jesus Christ, help them to learn how to serve each other, to serve the church, to serve the community. And in September of 2021, we welcomed Becky Spielman to be our youth director. She answered that call, and she has answered it well. And whether or not they realized it at the time, the youth group, every single thing that they have done up until this point, everything that they have done in service, everything they have done in study has been preparing them for getting up and leaving at 3:15 yesterday morning to head out to New Mexico. And right now, I'd like to take a few moments and just pray for them, that God will heal them of their altitude sickness, that they will continue to feel better, and that they will be able to be used in mighty ways for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our youth. We thank you for their parents that have brought them to this place. We thank you that these families are strong in you, that they want to follow you, to be your disciples, Jesus. And we thank you for Becky. We thank you for her heart of service. We thank you for her wisdom and her guidance. We thank you that she has allowed the youth to decide what it is that they want to be as a youth group. We thank you that they have listened to you in prayer. They have listened to you in Bible study, and they have done so many things to be of service to this church, to be of service to our community. And Father, now they are on this trip, and they are looking to be of service to you with the Navajo people. God, you see everything that is going on there this morning. You see the altitude sickness that is hitting a few of them. Father, we ask that you would just lessen those symptoms, let them go away, heal them of this altitude sickness so that they can be at full strength to witness and to worship and to serve with the Navajo people this week. Father, we ask that you would bless everything that they are doing. We ask that you would lead them to a place where they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who don't know him. Help them to be good educators. Help them to be good builders. Help them to be good landscapers. Father, just help them to be good friends to these people. We ask that you would just watch over them, protect them, bring them home safely on Saturday, and Father, let them be able to share all of the things that you were able to do through them next Sunday morning. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before Jesus rose from the dead, he spent 3 years preparing his disciples for his departure. He told them, "I will not always be with you." And he tried to prepare them for his upcoming death, his resurrection, and his ascension back into heaven. And he taught them for 3 years what the kingdom of God was like, and that they should be building that kingdom here on earth. This was not something that they needed to wait for. This was not something that they needed to look down the road and wait for Jesus to come back in order to start doing. They were to start doing this now. And after his resurrection, Jesus spent another 40 days talking about the kingdom of God, revealing things to his disciples and telling them, as we read in Acts chapter 1, that they were going to be building the kingdom of God here on earth. And after 3 years and 40 days, the disciples were still not getting the message. After 3 years and 40 days, the first question the disciples asked was about the earthly kingdom of Israel. Are you going to now restore the kingdom of Israel? And often they had asked Jesus about the end times. They asked him, when would Israel come back into power? When will the Romans be defeated? When will we have our time? And Jesus' response here in Acts chapter 1 told them exactly when they would have their time. He said, "No man knows the day or the hour. There is nothing that you can do to figure out when something might happen, because God has written it all down. God has the plan. It is his timing. It is his plan. You're not supposed to worry about that." Jesus is saying, stop worrying about earthly things and start worrying about earthly people. And Jesus looked at them right before he left, and he said, "I've got a job for you. I have got work for you to do. And the very first thing that Jesus told them to do was wait. How many of you like to wait? How many of you prefer to stand in the long line at the DMV? How many of you prefer to stand in the long line at Cracker Barrel when they say it's a 45-minute wait? We don't like to wait. And here's Jesus, the very first thing he says is, you wait in Jerusalem until this amazing thing is about to happen. Until the Holy Spirit that I have promised you, that God has promised you, comes. You're supposed to wait. And they waited. The first day went by, and the second day went by, and the third, and the fourth. They waited for 10 days. We don't like to wait 2 days for Amazon to get something to us. They waited for 10 days. They had a board meeting during those 10 days. They decided that they needed to elect a new apostle to take the place of Judas Iscariot. So they had a board meeting, and they talked about what an apostle should be, and then they cast lots, and the lots fell on Matthias, and he became the new apostle. And the Bible says they devoted themselves to prayer. So for 10 days, while they were waiting, they were praying. Have you ever had to wait for God to do something? Have you ever had to wait? You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you want God to do this thing. You want him to show you this thing. You want him to let you accomplish this thing. So here's my question. How often during that time of waiting are we praying? Are we devoting ourselves to prayer? Not just for the thing. Are we devoting ourselves to prayer that we might do the will of God? Are we prepared enough through prayer to hear the answer, no, if we have been waiting for something? When we ask God to do something, he might tell us to wait. And then the answer might still be no. But we're supposed to wait in prayer. And they did for 10 days. And then on this day called Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It means the Spirit gave them the ability to talk in these tongues. We come to understand through the rest of the passage that these tongues they were speaking in, they weren't some foreign, unknown spiritual language. The tongues that the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in were the tongues of every country represented in the city of Jerusalem on that day. Every city, every country in that was in the world, there were devout Jewish people celebrating this thing called Pentecost. Pentecost was this celebration of harvest. Tell me that doesn't have a special meaning. Because at this celebration of harvest, when all of the countries of the world were represented, God sent the ability for his people to talk to every single people group in the world on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened. And Peter stood up and Peter preached a sermon. His sermon probably took about 10 minutes to preach. Don't get any ideas. Especially Steve. I see him back there. It probably took him about 10 minutes to preach this sermon, and while he was preaching, this is probably what took more time, while he was preaching, every disciple was in a group of people translating into their own language what Peter was saying. In every language on earth, where there were Jewish people, and that was just about everywhere. In every language, they were translating Peter's message. And Peter's message was coming straight from the Holy Spirit. Peter was not known for being a speaker. Peter was not known for doing much of anything except being a bonehead sometimes and getting things wrong. And then the Holy Spirit came on him. And he preached a message. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, we learned that 3,000 people were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Their souls were added to the number of the 120. They accepted the message of the gospel and they began to follow Jesus. 3,000 people. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking for months about how we share the gospel with people. And every time we talk about it, the first thing that I say is you gotta pray. You should not be talking to anyone about God unless you have the power of God coursing through you, giving you the words to say. Otherwise, it's just you talking. And let's face it, we can make people angry sometimes. We can say wrong things sometimes, but if the Holy Spirit is speaking through us, there is not one wrong thing that we will say. We will always preach the kingdom of God. This missions trip that the Rooted in Christ youth group is on right now, it was not born out of a human endeavor. It was not started just because Becky had an idea one day. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to go on a missions trip? Do you know how it happened? The Rooted in Christ youth group, over months and months, studied Scripture. They served our church. They served our community. And they did all of that because they felt God was leading them to do it. And then one youth group meeting night, the youth of our church, not Becky, the youth of our church said, we should go on a missions trip. We should go and serve someplace that's not here. And we should share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people we don't even know. That's where this idea was born. It was born through obedience to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that his followers would proclaim the kingdom of God in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is what this means for us today, because we don't live in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria, but we do live in the ends of the earth. Jesus started with Jerusalem. He said, it starts at home, where you are right now. You start in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place of God's temple where God's presence lived. That's where we start. We start in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Spirit fell on that 120 people, God's presence was no longer limited just to the temple. God's presence was living in everyone who accepted Jesus Christ and his gift and his message. God's presence was with all of them. And if we proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we believe that God raised him from the dead, if you follow Jesus Christ and you live according to God's word, the Holy Spirit is in you. right now. That's where God lives. That's where God's presence is. And after spreading the gospel in Jerusalem, Jesus said, don't stop there. Don't just keep it for yourself. Don't just keep it for the Jews. He said, go out into the community, into all Judea. That was all of the area surrounding Jerusalem. And there were a lot of non-Jews in that area. Start sharing the kingdom of God with those people. And then he said, don't stop there. Go to Samaria. Now, some of you might know, the Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other for a lot of reasons. They hated each other. Jesus said, don't just go to the people you like, go to the people you hate and share the kingdom of God with them. Serve them, love them, wash their feet. Go to the people you hate. And then he says, go to the whole world. Go to the whole world through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Preach the gospel in every country in the world. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Navajo Nation is a nation. They do not consider themselves to be Americans. They consider themselves to be Navajo. They are another nation, and that is where our youth group is right now. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling in Becky Spielman. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the youth and the adults that are there on that trip, and in the directors that are there at the Navajo Mission who are looking to serve Jesus Christ by serving these people. And the Holy Spirit is alive and well in our church board who encouraged the youth to do this trip. We tried to give them everything that they needed, and we knew it wasn't us giving it to them. We knew it was God giving it to them. But we wanted to make sure we facilitated all of that. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Do you know how much power lives in you? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And that power lives in you if you follow Jesus Christ. How can we help but be victorious in whatever God puts on our hearts to do? As long as we are obedient to His will. I was talking to Steve out in the vestibule this morning as he was greeting people coming in. And we were talking, oh, well, this family's on vacation and this family's on vacation. Well, we got 10 people out in New Mexico, so they're not going to be here. We might not have a whole lot of people here. Wow. And I told Steve, I said, you know who's going to be here? Everybody who God wants to be here who is obeying the voice of God this morning. Everybody who is here this morning is here because God wants you to be, and you said yes. And I am so very thankful for that. Throughout this week, our missionaries, and that's what I call them. Somebody wanted to just call them the youth group. I said, no, no, no. They are missionaries this week. And our missionaries will be studying through a devotional that Becky has put together for them. And each day they're going to study and reflect on this call to share Jesus Christ with the Navajo people. And they're going to be looking at how they can relate to the culture. It is a different culture. If any of you have ever heard Ben and Eunice Stoner talk about the culture of the Navajo people, it is weird. They have what we might call a very fluid relationship with time. There is no time in the Navajo Nation. You go someplace and you're there until you're gone. And you go someplace else. That's it. And they're going to learn that. And it was kind of funny watching the schedule come through this couple weeks ago. I was like, okay, at 9 o'clock it's going to be this, and at 10 o'clock it's going to be this, and I just had to laugh. I said, well, maybe at 9 o'clock it'll be this, but then you have absolutely no idea what's going to happen the rest of the day. But it doesn't matter, because what's happening is going to be happening because God wants it to happen at that time, at that place. And they're going to be looking at how they can relate to a culture that they know nothing about. And while trying to relate to them, they want to give them a reason for the hope that is in them through Jesus Christ, and they want to do it with gentleness and respect. I feel like that's the theme of our year here at Morning Hour Chapel: gentleness and respect, sharing the hope that Jesus Christ gives us. And they're going to encounter things they've never encountered before. Mountains that go up and then flatten out is what one of the students was describing this morning. I've never seen mountains that just go up, 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 and then all of a sudden they're just flat. But they're also going to experience things like poverty, like they've never experienced before. They're going to experience things like a culture they've never experienced before. But with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit gave the power to 120 people on the day of Pentecost to communicate with every nation of the world. The Holy Spirit will give our youth the power to communicate with the Navajo Nation, to build relationships with the Navajo Nation. I will stake my life on the fact that those students will come back and continue with relationships that they build this week. There are going to be a lot of pen pals. There's going to be a lot of praying for those people this week. And they're going to be leading. They're going to be preaching. They're going to be praying. They're going to be teaching in the school. They're going to be serving. And all of these things they're going to be doing are going to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, for the building of the kingdom of God. And they're going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are going to be exhausted. I looked at their schedule, man. I couldn't do it. I used to be able to do it when I was like 20. But being almost 55, now I don't know that I could do it. They're going to be exhausted. Physically. But I think they are going to be rejuvenated and renewed spiritually. And I think the Holy Spirit is going to give them every ounce of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual power that they need exactly when they need it. They're going to be changed. I don't know if anybody here has ever gone on a missions trip before, but it can't help but change you. It can't help but make you think differently about the world that is not outside our door, but is outside our state, outside our country. Becky sent me a text last night. The last text that she sent before they had to go to bed. This is what she said. It has been extremely humbling and eye-opening. I believe all of us have already been impacted upon arrival. God led us here. Now we work together as a team to meet his purpose. These are our youth. If you're worried that the church is going to die, if you were worried that Christianity is going to not be a thing around here anymore, don't worry. Because these young people are going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone they meet. Renee said this morning that she was worried about her niece. She said that she was worried that she wasn't going to get well or that she was going to get sicker. Cast all your cares upon Jesus Christ because he is going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything that God wants you to do. We are not here for us. We are here for God. And the second you step out of the doors at the front of this church, you are entering a mission field. And your mission field might be your neighborhood. Your mission field might be your workplace or your school. Your mission field might be the grocery store or the restaurant that you're going to go eat at this afternoon after church. That's your mission field. And we are Christ's representatives. The youth group left here yesterday morning saying we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ and we're going to carry forth his message. That's who we are. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and our mission field is here. Now, for some of you, your mission field is going to be elsewhere. For some of you, God might be calling you to a different country, to a different nation. And if he calls you to that, he's going to give you everything you need to carry his message. But you got to be obedient. You got to listen to the call of God and you've got to go. And my question for you is this: will you heed God's call? Will you obey God's word? There are 10 examples in New Mexico this morning of people who have heeded God's word to carry the kingdom of God to others, serving humbly, serving completely, so that other people might know Jesus Christ. Sarah Beeman, Aubrey Berwager, Emma Hughes, Isaiah Shank, Sylvia Spielman, John Beeman, Jeff King, Dean Shank, Dusty Spielman, and Becky Spielman have all said yes to God's plan. Which of us will be next? Which of us will say yes? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we feel your presence here this morning. And Father, they feel your presence in New Mexico because your presence is wherever the Holy Spirit lives. And Father, he lives in us because we have faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that you live within us. We thank you that you will give us instruction on what you want us to do with our talents, with our abilities, with our money, with whatever you give us to build your kingdom. Here at Morning Hour Chapel, here in East Berlin, here in Pennsylvania, here in the United States, here in your world. You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and know eternal life. Make us willing that none should perish. Make us willing to carry your message of salvation to every single person that you put into our path. Let us be bold. Let us be courageous. Let us be gentle and respectful. Show us your power in us as we build your kingdom here on earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are going to celebrate communion. Communion was given to us by Jesus Christ as a reminder of who He is and of what He has done for us. Jesus said that the bread represents His body that was broken for us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus' body was broken for us so that we might be healed. The Bible says, by His stripes, we are healed. First and foremost, we are healed spiritually. We are made whole with God again because of Jesus' broken body. Jesus said that the wine represents His blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And He reminds us every time we take communion to remember that the forgiveness of sins is for everyone, not just for us, not just for the people we like, for every human on earth. This is what we're supposed to remember and celebrate this morning. And I want to invite you, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion, as we pray silently to our Father in heaven, thank Him for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank Him for the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing Him back from the dead. And thank Him for the promise that one day He will return in glory and He will reign over a new heaven and a new earth. These are the promises of God. And they are unbreakable. As you pray this morning, if you remember that you have some sin that is unforgiven, pray for forgiveness. If you remember that someone has something against you, purpose in your heart that today you're going to go and try to make that right. Let's take a few moments, prepare our hearts. On the night that He was betrayed into the hands of men to be crucified, Jesus took a loaf of bread and He blessed it. He prayed to God to bless this bread. He broke it and gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Take and eat. This is My body which is broken for you." And I think about Jesus blessing His body, praying that God would find His sacrifice enough for us. He said, "Take this, and when you eat it, remember what I have done for you." The body of Jesus Christ. The night wore on, they had supper. When they'd finished supper, Jesus took a cup of wine, and again He blessed it. And He passed it to His disciples, and He said, "Take and drink this, all of you. This is the new covenant of My blood that is poured out for the salvation of many." Jesus asked God to use His blood to forgive us. And He knew that not many hours before the dawn, His blood would be shed. He said, "Every time you drink this cup, remember what I have done for you." The blood of Jesus Christ. Remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is not a once-a-month thing. It is a once-a-moment thing. The Apostle Paul says to pray without ceasing. What that means is keep God in the forefront of your mind and your heart at all times. Remember what Jesus Christ did so that you might have eternal life. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that he was willing, even after he asked you to stop his execution, that he was willing to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Let that be the reality for us all. Every time we pray, every time we come to you, let it not be our will, but your will be done. We thank you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God is going to show us something amazing tomorrow at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of you, hopefully none of you, will be dumb enough to look directly at the sun. But there is going to be an almost total eclipse of the sun passing through us tomorrow afternoon. And I hear a lot of people asking, is this the sign of the end times? And I've seen videos and blog posts all over the place. This will only be the time that Jesus comes back if this is the time that God has set for Jesus to come back. While you are looking up, remember this week to look out. See the mission field. See the people who don't yet know who Jesus Christ is, and purpose in your hearts to speak through the Holy Spirit and share Jesus Christ with them. God bless you this week.